Hey, welcome to 7 Second Delay.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
Joining us live from Madison, New Jersey, it's Andy Breckman, man.
Thanks, buddy. I didn't know you were going to tell people I was Skyping in, but
yeah,
it's
no,
okay.
I think it's kind of obvious that you're Skyping in.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, of course, you would think it is because I'm not next to you.
But you don't sound...
For anybody that wasn't, oh, say you, for example... Anybody else, for example, would have no idea until you opened your big mouth.
Oh, I see. So you want to pretend that you're here in the studio.
Yeah, then I get credit for driving in.
Okay.
I get credit from the listeners.
Can you
sacrificing a little bit.
I don't know what it is about Skype, but it's making your gum chewing even louder.
I don't know how to make it any louder. I don't know how.
No, it's too loud. That's
oh, it's too loud.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to spit it out.
Excellent. Thank you.
Buddy, it's the least I could do. It's literally the least I could do.
So why couldn't you make it in this week?
Well, I'm in Kickstarter mode. We're launching on Monday. We have 5 days to go.
This is why you didn't come in?
Yeah. Kickstarter is like launching an independent movie or something. It's a lot of little detail.
Wait a second. I really thought you didn't come in because you had the flu.
I'm feeling fine. I was a little tired yesterday. But I'm in Kickstarter mode.
So
do you have any experience with Kickstarter?
Yeah, I do have a bit of experience with Kickstarter. Yep.
It's I'm using the
Did you hire a Kickstarter consultant?
I'm using the internet.
Good.
Social media. Social media is very important.
That's good. That's better than having a Kickstarter lemonade stand.
I do have a Kickstarter consultant.
Oh, really? What's his or her name?
He never told me his name.
And how much are you paying your Kickstarter consultant?
No, I've been getting a lot of advice. If I have any strength in this world, it's that I'm the first to admit what I don't know. I'm here to learn. It's a learning curve. I'm learning.
So you didn't.
What was your Kickstarter experience?
Well, I never did a Kickstarter myself, but I cooperated heavily with Tim Smith's Kickstarter to do the WFMU documentary.
That's right, and that helped. That helped him get over a big hump financially.
Yeah. He raised $85,000.
Okay, well that's now my goal.
$85,000.
I want to make $85,000. I want to make $85,001. $85,001.
All right. Good luck. I will donate to your Kickstarter.
Thanks. I kick off on Monday.
I don't even know what it's for, but I'm ready to donate.
It's a card game. It's really a fantastic, great party game. And I can't say the name of it on your show. You have the, you don't have spine enough to say one curse word.
Oh, I can say it.
You can say the name of my game?
Well, in code. It's the card game Ish Happens.
Oh, Ish Happens.
Ish happens, yeah.
Wait, let me ask you this, and I know we have other things to do tonight, although I don't want to do anything else. Can you spell the name of the game?
Nah,
is that okay?
No, please don't.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, you could say Ish.
Wait, can you spell, and I wouldn't do this, but... But you know the F-bomb, the F-word.
The
can
F-word.
Can you spell out those letters on the radio?
I'd prefer you didn't.
Of course, I'm not going to. I'm not. I'm just curious. I'm asking hypothetically.
Yeah, I don't think that the FCC has ever fined a radio or TV station for spelling it out. Although they have fined people for playing songs that had the F word where they edited the whole word out and they fined them anyway. So, you know, the FCC is full of surprises on this topic.
And you'd rather not be the test case.
Yeah, because the FCC, they fined a station $25,000 for playing an Eminem song where they had edited all the F words out. And then the FCC decided that it was obscene anyway because you could tell what the words would have been.
And when the FCC fines you, do you have to pay it? Can you appeal it? I mean, do you...
Yeah, you can appeal it. And you'll quickly spend more in legal costs than you would in paying the fine. But
How many times has FMU been fined like that?
We've never been fined. We had an indecency investigation hanging over our head for 5 years once. And then the FCC just ran out of time. The statute of limitations ran out. Before they made a decision.
What was the on-air incident that was involved in that?
It was the F-bomb. It was a hip-hop record that had two F-bombs, and the DJ took it off and then apologized, but it didn't matter. It was too late.
Okay, last question. You've been a wonderful guest. I just have one more question.
Okay.
Did you personally, as station manager, hold the DJ in that case responsible for all the trouble he caused?
No, I did not.
Was that DJ you?
No. No, it was not. It was John Allen, I can tell you.
Well, he must have felt terrible.
Yeah, but but he did the right thing. It was an accident. He took it off. He apologized.
Was the record in question mislabeled?
Well, kind of, because the record came out of the station's new bin, and records that are in the new bin that have curses on them are supposed to have the tracks marked that you can and cannot play, and this one did not.
Oh, so it wasn't the DJ's fault. It was the person who logged in the record's fault.
Well, it fell through the cracks.
Now let's just keep talking until we know who's to blame.
Why do you need to find somebody to blame?
What's the point of hearing a story if you don't know who's to blame? I don't understand the point of any story if you don't know who to get mad at.
Yeah, I think it's a weird American thing that you have to find the person to blame. I don't see that there is a person.
Yeah, in Estonia, they don't do that. Good point.
Well, in Estonia, they just blame Croatia.
Yeah, they'll just blame that neighborhood over there.
Yeah.
Down in the valley.
Or those dirty Slovenians.
Oh, we have fun.
So,
this has been a great show.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
So Andy Breckman did not come in tonight because he has a Kickstarter that launches in 5 days.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of little details.
Right.
You know what? You have to be very social. You have to be very engaging. You have to be networking, which does not come naturally to me.
And of
you have to glad hand.
Yeah. And of all the days, I mean, today you and I should be together celebrating because there's a celebration rally going on in Washington Square Park right now.
What?
There's 10,000 people in Washington Square Park.
Wait, for what?
Celebrating the repeal of the tampon tax in New York State.
Oh, they're not celebrating it.
They are.
10,000 people in Washington Square Park?
Yeah. That's what I was told.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But I know that New York did repeal the tax.
Yeah, the Senate voted unanimously after our show last week.
We can't take full credit, but it really is something.
Yeah. Well, I think we can take most of the credit.
Because we didn't want the man taxing our periods.
Well, we don't have periods, but it was the principle of the thing.
As a feminist, I feel like I share the periods of my woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we going to do? So now that's only phase one. Phase one of our plan, we had a master plan. We can reveal it now.
Yes.
Was to get the tax repealed.
Right.
Right?
And we wanted to put that much more disposable income
into
women's
hands.
Hands
of young women.
About $600 over the course of their lifetime.
Right. So now women in New York State will have more disposable income, thanks to us. And now what's phase two of our master plan? Shall we reveal it?
Let's reveal it. We've already invested.
Yes. We're going to open a pretty hat shop to sell pretty hats to the ladies who have all this extra money.
That's not what I thought the plan was.
Lingerie. Something to wear to please their boyfriends.
I thought the idea was to invest to invest in things that women would be spending money on now that they have so much more disposable income. But I didn't think it would be something that would be insulting to women, like frilly hats and lingerie.
That's insulting to women?
Yeah.
Sorry for you, my friend.
Yeah. To say that, you know, now that women have all this tampon tax money in their hands, they're just going to go out
and
buy.
What else are they going to do? What else would they look? What else would they do? They want pretty hats.
No, I think you're missing the whole point. I think
to turn the boys' heads.
Yeah, I know. I understand the.
They go walking by.
I understand.
So the boys on the street corner will whistle at them.
Yeah, I don't think women really want that.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe you're right. You could be right. You get out a lot more than me.
Yeah, I think you have a ways to go with your newfound feminism. You might want to pick up that book, Feminism.
Look, phase one is over. They have the extra money.
Yeah. And
hey, so did you just sit by the phone waiting for thank yous from your empowered female friends?
Well, my.
Did you get any calls at all?
I got a lot of texts. I got a lot of texts from women saying thanks for helping to repeal the tampon tax. You rock.
And that's it. That's the last issue that I cared about. Done and done.
I think we need a new pet issue.
I can retire now.
You also need to buy
one for one.
All right. So what are we doing tonight? Tonight we actually have a topic.
Well, you and I disagree about this.
You don't believe in it, but the topic.
Oh, we disagree. You know, reasonable people could disagree, and so can we. You believe that music can actually change your life?
Yes.
You believe that people can have a song or an album that not only was important to them, not only meant a lot to them emotionally, but literally changed their life. They wouldn't be who they are today if it wasn't for that piece of music
or that record.
Yeah. I don't believe it. Yeah. I believe it might be true with a book. I believe a book can change the course of your life. I can't imagine an instance where music would be that important. I just can't.
Really? You don't think that a record or a song has ever changed anybody's life?
I believe that I believe you can be connected to the record and be moved by it. I believe it can help you get through a bad night or two. But to change your life, that's setting the bar very high. Has music ever changed your life? Are you saying you wouldn't be who you are if not for a certain piece of music?
I can think of certain pieces of music and certain records that, sent me down a whole different path, socially, culturally.
In your life?
Yeah.
That you wouldn't have gone down had it not existed?
That I can think of songs and records that definitely played a pivotal role in sending me one direction and not another. And you can't. Not even Steamroller by James Taylor.
Well, it did. Well, that's not entirely true. I did go out and buy a steamroller after hearing that song. Very excited about it.
What did you do with that steamroller?
You know what? The second happiest day in a boy's life is buying a steamroller. You know the happiest day in a boy's life?
Selling it.
Yeah. Getting rid of it. I had it for 8 months. I only used it a few times.
Did you steamroll anything?
I didn't steamroll very much. I know you would have steamrolled the James Taylor albums.
Yes, I would have.
How ironic is that?
Well, this is our topic.
James Taylor with a steamroller. Wow.
This is our topic. What record or song changed your life? The phone number is...
Not that it meant a lot to you. I don't accept that. What record or song changed your life? For example, if I'd like to meet someone that moved to San Jose after hearing Do You Know the Way to San Jose?
Well, that's so.
That would be something that changed your life. But short of that,
that's so literal.
Well, okay, but what changed your life? What is there a song that sent people overseas? I mean, what? I'd like to meet someone. I'd like to talk to someone where a song changed their life, a piece of music.
Okay, so give us a call at 201-209-9368 and tell us the record.
I guess you could say Charlie Manson reacted very strongly to Helter Skelter.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one example. Good. You found an example. Great,
well,
Ken.
I think
what sane person? Is there a sane person out there whose life has been changed?
I think that Charlie Manson probably would have gone the same direction he went in even without the White Album.
Good question.
Yeah.
Very good question.
The White Album, they were convinced that the Beatles were sending secret messages to them. Via the White Album.
Yeah. Manson was going to start a race war.
Yeah.
Hey, and it worked. Damn you, Charlie Manson.
Oh, is that why we're having a race war?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't read. I just read the headlines. I don't read, like, the fine print.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So,
So why don't you give the phone number?
The phone number is 201-209-9368. You're on the air. What song or record changed your life? Hello? Oh.
You're talking to me? Your co-host?
No, I was trying to talk to somebody on the phone, but...
Yeah, it's fun to pretend you have listeners sometimes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you guys are talking about, like, music that changes your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, not music you loved, but music that changed your life.
Yeah, like, changed it, like deeply, impactfully.
No. That you wouldn't be the person you are today. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for a piece of music.
Oh, okay, I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gigi Allen?
Uh-huh.
I would definitely not be the same if I was never blessed by Gigi Allen.
Now explain, I know about Gigi Allen, but you need to explain to Andy Breckman about Gigi Allen. Go ahead.
You don't have to.
Yeah, no, you do.
He's a performance artist, and he did rock and roll music.
It's rock and roll, Andy.
Yeah.
It's loud, it's stupid,
on,
it hits
Andy,
you in the head.
I love that story.
Plus threesomes.
I love.
Yeah, all the dogs, sisters, brothers, you name it, man. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, Andy.
That story has something for everyone.
Try it out sometime. All right, thanks for your call. There you go. Gigi Allen changed that guy's life.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think that guy is that guy.
Phone number here is 201-209-9368. We're asking you what song or record changed your life. Andy doesn't think it's possible.
Well,
a book is possible. Why is a book possible?
Oh, you're walking down the street, a book falls on your head, you're injured, a book can change your life.
Oh, I thought you meant reading.
Trip over a book.
I thought you meant reading a book.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true, too. Okay. Reading a book.
Todd in New York City, you're on the air.
Hey, I grew up near the water on Long Island, and I love boats, and it somehow became the idea that I was going to go to the Coast Guard Academy. And, you know, I applied to a couple other colleges because, you know, you always back yourself up. And what do you know? I get an appointment to the Coast Guard Academy,
mm-hmm.
and they had like a one week introduction period. And I went into the PX, and this guy was blasting Quadrophenia, which had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, I really like this record. I've got to pick it up when I get home. And this guy says, don't bother. For 2 years in the Coast Guard Academy, you're never going to hear any music at all. And I ended up going to William and Mary instead because, you know, I decided I couldn't go for two years, even though if I was going to be, you know, out on boats and have a brilliant career. So it changed my life.
Perfect story. Quadrophenia changed his life, Andy. He didn't go into the Coast Guard because he was told he wouldn't be able to hear Quadrophenia for another 2 years.
I challenge. I don't think that's exactly the example. I don't think it's a good example of what we want.
I think it's an excellent example.
But it could have been any song. It didn't have to be The Who. It could have been any song, and all he had to hear was that there were a lot of restrictions in the Coast Guard, and that made him that made him rethink his decision.
But he'd never heard. He'd never
it
heard.
Wasn't necessarily that music,
he had never heard Quadrophenia before, and he loved it, and he wanted to buy it. And the guy said, "Forget it. You're not going to hear any music for 2 years."
But let's say this is okay. Let's just say, for example, the Kinks were playing that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't he walks in? He says, "I love the Kinks," and the guy would say, "Well, enjoy it now because you're not going to hear any music for 2 years, and then you're in the same position."
I love the Kinks, but it was specifically Quadrophenia.
There was no Quadrophenia, Andy. Sorry.
But if the Kinks were I'm just saying it wasn't that specific. All right. I can't even argue with you.
Yeah.
Look, isn't the important thing is my Kickstarter launches in 5 days.
And that's Todd, thanks for your call.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Todd.
I cannot believe you told me you had the flu, and now it turns out that I can't believe
I was tired. I was tired, but it really... You gotta cover a lot of details before your Kickstarter.
Yeah, so what did you do on your Kickstarter today?
I was sending out demo copies of my little game. Wait, what did you call it? Shoosh Happens? Wait, what did you call it?
Ish Happens, yeah. All right, well, we got lots of calls. I think a lot of people have records that changed their life.
I challenge. I don't believe it's possible.
Mike in Staten Island, you're on the air. Mike in Staten Island. Island on line one. It's Mike.
Say it again. Say it
again,
Ken.
Yes, it's Mike. That is my name.
Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey. Good choice on the Quadrophenia album.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, good choice.
Great anecdote.
So what song or record changed your life, Mike?
You ever hear The Color and Shape by Foo Fighters?
What song by the Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighter, I'm going to go. Yes, hi, guys.
All right, we're back with Mike.
I'm Mike hearing the radio. So
Mike in Staten Island.
Backwards to me.
Starting over again. You're on the air, Mike.
I'm just listening to this as a listener would, as a fan
hello?
Would on the radio.
Yeah.
This is horrific.
Hello?
All right, Mike in Staten Island. You're on the air.
Is this a typical call for us?
Bruce in Red Bank. You're on the
dear
air.
God help us all.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Is this our show?
About 40 years ago, I was on my way to a job interview with a couple of recruiters, and I'm listening to Jake Isles' song, Hard Driving Man.
Uh-huh.
And I'm bouncing around in the car, and I get to the interview, and the interview is going okay, and at some point, these two interviewers, it was for a sales position where they're looking for a really high-power, aggressive guy, which I wasn't. And they asked me in, one or two words, how would you describe yourself? And the only thing I could think of was the name of that song, and I said, Hard Driving Man. These guys went nuts. I got the job. I got into a career I probably shouldn't have gotten into. And the rest, as they say, was history.
Boom. Satisfied, Andy?
That's pretty good. Because it's very specific. It's specific to that song.
And I feel
it changed,
the song.
Changed the course of his life, even if not for the better. All right. That I would consider as a song that changed. Because if you hadn't heard that song,
I wouldn't know what to say.
If they were playing Joni Mitchell, you would have just said, "I look at life from both sides, sir."
Right. Yeah.
And that
I'm
would have gotten you the job.
I'm a hardworking guy. Yeah. I'm honest. And I probably
yeah.
Have gotten the
but
job.
You were okay. Well, that's a pretty good example. I would put that. I'd put that. Yeah, in the maybe it changed your life category.
Oh, thank you, Lord Andy.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Kenny.
Thanks, Bruce. So we're looking for songs.
You know what? I don't think I mind that nickname, Lord Andy.
Yeah, you like it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
All right. Good. We're looking for people who want to talk about the record or song that changed their life.
That really changed your life. Not that
really you changed your life.
Yeah, not that got you through, you know, the breaking after the prom, you know, you broke up with your girlfriend and got you through a hard night. Not that song. A song that altered the course of your life. You wouldn't be where you are.
I got one.
You do in your life?
Yeah, I do.
I'd like to hear this story.
Okay. The phone number here is 201-209-9368. Andy, it was just as I was ending my college years in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I bought the double LP, the first sampler on Recommended Records, which had weird musicians from all over the world. And my favorite track on that record was a track by R. Stevie Moore called Pedestrian Hop. And I really loved that song. And then after I left Ann Arbor, I came back to visit my dad for a while, and I was driving around, and I heard R. Stevie Moore played on WFMU, And then I heard somebody refer to the fact that R. Stevie Moore did a show on WFMU. And I couldn't believe that this song by this artist who I had just fallen in love with was actually doing a show on this radio station. So I went to WFMU and asked to do a show.
I guess I'm looking for ways music has changed your life for the better, is what I guess I'm looking for.
Right. Pete in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
We're living a dream, right, Ken? Aren't we living the dream?
Yeah, you're on with Lord Andy, Pete.
Good to know.
Yeah, I don't know about that nickname now. Now that I'm hearing it again. So, Pete, you have a song or a record that literally changed your life.
I do. I mean, there are many, but I would put the DB's first record, Stands for Decibels, as a record that definitely changed my life.
And how did it change your life?
Well, I'm a musician and a songwriter, and it gave me a perspective on, like, writing, you know, songs that had really great hooks and melodies, but that weren't necessarily happy or, you know, had kind of, like, subversive, you know, lyrics, or had also kind of experimental kind of things going on in them as well.
So it changed your musical life, and you're a musician.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, Andy.
Yeah. What do you think, Ken?
I'm sure Andy gets it completely.
Yeah, I get it completely. But it didn't have to be. That's like, if you had heard anything else that the week, the same genre would have affected you that way, right?
Why? Yeah. No. What are you eating now, Andy?
I'm actually, you know what? I'm calling you guys from a Mexican restaurant. I'm on your newsletter feed, so uh-huh. I just saw the topic, and I said, oh, I should probably
go. Oh, so you're not even listening.
I'm not even listening. I'm going to have to listen later.
Well, Andy, try the Suizas. They're out of this world.
What Mexican restaurant are you at?
What the hell is it called again? It's called...
I don't even know why I bothered
asking. I can't even remember. It's in Sunset Park. Montemoros, that's what it's called.
Well, Montemoros. All right, thanks, Andy.
It's a good restaurant. It's so authentic, you'd swear... You were at Epcot Center.
Richard in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Richard.
I was not sure about the topic. Does it have to be changing your life for the better?
No. No, it can be changing your life for the worse.
Right.
I've proven that.
Okay, so this would be the first Naked City album.
John Zorn, uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was a big influence on my just general aesthetic, and it convinced me, and I think you may see where this is coming, to become a musician, and that just was a disaster.
Wait, so you were so moved by this record. By the way, Ken, maybe we should limit it to records I've heard of.
No.
Would that be a more interesting show?
No, that would not be a more interesting show. We'd get no calls at all.
Okay, so you were so moved by this record that you changed careers and became a musician.
Well, I was a teenager at the time, so I didn't change careers. I went to that career.
You decided to become a musician.
I decided to become a musician. And, you know, that rarely turns out well.
And if you had put on a different record that morning, it may not have affected you. Wouldn't you say you were primed to become a musician? It almost didn't matter what record you were listening to.
No, because I mean, at the time I was listening to like a lot of you know hair metal and that type of stuff, which was you know which I was enjoying, but it didn't really shape my life. I didn't wake up and say, wow, that's something I want to do with my life, the rest of my life, and you know it's gonna shape my whole worldview.
You've made me very curious about this record. What's the name of the record?
Naked City.
Naked Self.
Are you familiar with it, Ken?
Yeah, it's a great record. Naked City. Yeah, I listened to the hell out of that record when it came out. I had it on cassette in my car.
So did I. You know what? Not only did I have it on cassette, I was working. I had a summer job at a laboratory washing dishes. And, and it wasn't, a restaurant. It was a laboratory, so we washed dishes with various kinds of acid. And my tape cassette, my Walkman, was fused shut because of the acid. You know, I accidentally spilled it onto the Walkman. So I could only listen to that tape.
Nice.
Remember the Stephen Wright told a joke about he was driving cross country and the cassette player in the car broke, and he could only play the same cassette over and over again. He couldn't change the cassette.
Uh huh.
And he said, "I can't remember what it was." He forgot what the cassette was.
And therein lies the humor.
And therein lies what we call the humor.
Yes. All right. Thanks for your call, Richard.
Thanks for your call. So that's what we're down to now, Ken. People call in, they tell stories, which sparks me remembering what other funny men have said about things.
Yes. Well, it's better than you just like raining on every person's parade. You just poop.
Now, what do you think of that story?
Poo-pooing.
Did that change his life?
Yeah, I would say it did. If he was listening to hair metal, and then he listened to John Zorn's Naked City and decided to become a musician, and it went horribly, then yeah, it had a huge effect on his life. Not for the better.
A lot of the stories we've heard, the music has not, so far today, the music, the song in question has not changed their life for the better.
Well, we still have half an hour to go. I am sorry to
inform
you. No,
that can't be true.
That is true.
It just can't be true.
No, it's true. Zachary in Indiana, you're on the air.
Evening. Love the show. Long time.
Thanks,
listener.
Buddy.
I can't believe I got through.
That means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
It does. Thank you, Zachary. What
and we're
you
not being sarcastic, are we, Ken?
Well, I'm not. You are.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so it's a wash.
Yeah.
So a song that changed my life, Cecil Taylor's Luya, that glorious step off his Looking Ahead album. That whole album actually was pretty pinnacle for me to getting into more of the free jazz, early free jazz.
And how did getting into free jazz change your life?
It really provided an opportunity to listen to some great music that was absent of words. And so I find it really allowed me to think a little more clearly when all the chaos was swimming around me musically.
And I hear.
Well, I'm glad that you found music you like, but I would say it doesn't sound like it changed your life. It sounds like you'd be where you are today without that specific piece of music. Wouldn't you agree?
I think I've been able to think some thoughts that I wouldn't have been able to. It really introduced me a lot to, I got more into the jazz scene here in the greater Lafayette area. And,
I hear free jazz in the background in the background of your home right now.
That's a baby.
Yeah, that's our son, Hieronymus. He's practicing his squawking. So we're going to start an avant-garde jazz noise band as soon as he can play some noise consistently. He's got one note on a recorder.
All right, but, go Hieronymus.
Yeah.
Now, I would say Hieronymus is the best name for a kid I've ever heard.
It's pretty good.
Hieronymus.
What are you going to call him for short? Hero?
Yeah, we call him Hero for short.
Hero, that's good.
How many Hieronymuses were in your class growing up, Ken, in your second or third grade class?
Oh, 7 or 8.
Really, yeah, me too.
Not many at all.
Yeah. We had Big Hieronymus. We had Little Hieronymus.
Yeah, this is Big Hieronymus, so it's a repeat.
Yeah.
Hieronymus. I love it.
All right. Thank you, Zachary. Good luck with Hieronymus.
Oh, my gosh. And, it sounds like things are swinging out there in Indiana.
Yeah. Kayla, you're on the air.
Hi.
Okay,
so the song that I think changed my life for the better, hopefully, is I Won't Share You by the Smiths.
Mm-hmm. I Won't Share You by the Smiths. Okay.
Yeah, I got offered a job a while ago that was kind of like a boring office job, and my parents and my boyfriend really wanted me to take it, and I ended up not because I felt like I wouldn't have enough time for my art, and I just got offered a book deal today.
All right.
that I wouldn't have been able to take if I had taken the, you know, boring office job.
But, well, that's all great, but how did the song play a part in that decision?
Because I ended up, like, listening to that song 50 times before turning down the job offer.
And Morrissey was telling you to not take the job, right?
Yeah.
No, what Morrissey was telling you, Ken, was to be true to yourself.
Yeah, what was Morrissey...
Was to follow your bliss. That's what Morrissey's message is.
Well, let's ask Kayla. What was Morrissey telling you through that song?
Just don't bend to other people's will and... Yeah, follow your dreams. Like, if you have a drive to do something, then keep doing it.
Kayla, I'm older than you. I've seen a lot more of the world than you. I can tell you right now, that was the biggest mistake you ever made.
Hey, Andy, Kayla. Yeah. Kayla,
you're going to regret this decision for the rest of your life.
Andy, Kayla has a book.
You're going to end up hating more just for this. Yes.
Kayla has a book deal. Do you have a book deal?
Hold on. Let me check. No.
Yeah, you have a Kickstarter coming up in 5 days.
Yeah, that's a little different. Kayla, let me ask you about your book. Tell us about your book. We'll be the first place you can plug it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not allowed to plug it yet. We're still negotiating the contract.
Okay.
But
sounds great. Just from your description right there. It's a book so good she can't even discuss it.
Well, it's still under wraps.
That's how good it is.
Yeah. Just like you're not allowed to discuss your Kickstarter.
Well, I can't discuss my Kickstarter because you won't let me say the name of it.
Yeah.
On your little show.
Yeah, because it's against the law.
No, because you forgot to put your spine in when you woke up today.
Took the wrong spine. What
you
can I tell you?
Took the wrong spine.
Yeah.
You took your rubbery Jell-O spine.
Kayla, good luck with the book. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Phone number here.
The song changed your life.
So you had no song that played an instrumental part in your life. You wanted to be Bob Dylan or Steve Forbert,
well,
or something like when you were.
I guess it's true. I didn't respect women until Aretha Franklin sang that respect song.
R-E-S-P.
That changed my life a little bit.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's,
yeah.
Is that the song that made you a feminist?
Yeah.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. I never actually heard that song before.
Yeah. But you were a comic folk singer for 4 years. So that had a huge influence on your life, and that led you into being a comedy writer. What song or which artist or record was it that led you into being a comic folk singer?
I admired many singer-songwriters. Of course, I was influenced by many singer-songwriters. But I don't know, there's one specific piece of music that altered the course of my life.
Okay. But who was it? Who was it that most inspired you? Was it Dylan? Because he's not that funny.
I'd probably have to list, like the comedians, Woody Allen and James Brooks and funny writers.
Oh, really?
Maybe more than singer-songwriters. But who knows, when you're 14 or 15, that's the sweet spot, right, when you're 15?
Yeah.
That's when everything influences you.
Hmm. So there was no...
Well, it's everybody. I mean, it's a long, long, long list. I mean, I guess there wasn't one specific.
No funny singer-songwriter who really inspired you.
Well, I admired Randy Newman. I think Dylan is, by the way, as funny as anyone. I think Dylan is so damn funny.
But are his songs
so
funny?
Witty.
Oh, yeah, he's very witty. But are his songs funny?
Oh, my God. I think Dylan is so funny. And even when he's singing straight in character, he's just created this character. Bob Dylan's just this fictional character.
Yeah, true.
And what a great, funny, full dimensional fictional character, he created. Just an amazing character that.
Well, I agree with you, but I can't think of a laugh out.
Robert Zimmerman came up with. It's almost like an Andy Kaufman sort of thing. It's almost like
it's true
performance art. It's just amazing. And the more I listen to Dylan now as I get older, the funnier I think he is. The phrasing, how he delivers his lines, it's as good as any stand-up comic. It's just so brilliantly witty and funny.
What's a laugh?
Dylan was up there, but I can't.
So what's a laugh out? Give me a laugh out loud Bob Dylan song or line.
You don't laugh out loud, but when somebody sings the pumps don't work because the vandals took the handle, that is just, I just start gritting. If you think about, it's as memorable as any joke you've ever heard. I don't know. It's so visual. It's just so clever.
Okay.
It makes me laugh. Don't you think he's the funniest guy in show business?
I love him. I love him. I've been listening to that Chronicles box set nonstop for months.
Oh, my God.
Already. Yeah.
The greatest. So, yeah, the blonde on blonde outtake.
So no argument there. Oh, hey, guess who's on the line?
I don't know. Now I'm scared.
It's our text-to-speech caller, Aaron in Minneapolis. Hello, Aaron.
How are you boys?
We're doing fine now that you called.
I am good. Just a little sick tonight. Have strep throat, but it's okay.
Sorry to hear that. Hope you have a speedy recovery. Is there a song that played a big part in your life?
The song that changed my life was the folksy LSSSIC Railroad Bell.
That's one of Andy's songs.
Well, that would be one of my songs.
The shaking hand of the guy who wrote it.
I don't know if I really changed your life. I don't know. Maybe I feel responsible if that's true.
Actually, the song that changed my life is An Every Dream Home Heartache by Roxy Music, just because it showed me how evil music could be.
In Every Dream Home a Heartache by Roxy Music. Yeah, it's the song about being in love with an inflatable love doll.
I think it turned me evil. Especially seeing Ken perform it at the Hoof and Mouth Sinfonia. Now that was epic.
Ken, did you do a version of that song?
I did, live? Yeah. Yeah, I did do a version of it. Well, Aaron, this is your best call ever. I'll just wait for him to type
Thank
something
you.
In. All right, have a good night, Aaron. Whoops.
Kenny.
Oh, he's
Kenny.
Aaron's getting a lot better on the text-to-speech stuff.
He's typing very quickly. He's responding very quickly. But I'm very curious now about that Roxy Music song. Is that a song I would like?
Probably not. No, it's called "In Every Dream Home a Heartache." It's a famous song.
How famous can it be, Ken?
It's
no
pretty,
one but you.
No, it's pretty famous.
Yeah.
It's pretty well known. I'm sure you. No, you probably haven't heard it. Yeah, you live a secluded musical life. Deborah in Montclair, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi,
Deborah. Hey, you love the show.
This is a song that has, well, it's just stayed with me, and mostly for every event, whether horrific or happy, the song comes up. But the song is "Changes" by Phil Oakes.
Uh huh.
Oh, and, sure. Now you're talking my language.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I think we're around the same age bracket. But anyway, am I allowed
Wait,
to
I'm
say
so, I'm
name
so curious. Ken, do you know that song?
Yeah, I know Changes by Phil Oakes.
You don't know that song.
Of course I know that song.
What's the first line of that song?
I don't know.
Phil Oakes.
But what's the first line? I'm Well, how well do you know it then? How can you say you know it if you don't know the first line of that song?
Because it's one of his big songs. I can sort of hear parts of it in my head.
Yeah.
What, I have to...
And that's what it does. It stays in your head. My head.
Poor Phil.
And how did this song change your life?
Well, if you can bleep me if I'm mentioning... Can I mention another radio station from decades ago?
You may.
No.
Okay.
That I'm afraid can't let you do that. I don't make the rules. I'm sorry.
Many years ago when I was in high school, I was listening to Pete Fornatel when he was a disc jockey on FUV.
No, WNEW.
Panther's Caravan.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
That's going very way back. And I heard, that's when I first heard the song Changes by Phil Oakes. And I said, that's it. I will do a radio show and this will be my theme. And then... I eventually showed up at Uppsala College in the late 60s, from 68 to 72, yeah, I went to WFMU, and I said, I want to do a radio show, and I want to call it Changes. And they, you know, it was fine. It was freeform until this person named Mel Fritsch took over. And that's what I did. I had a radio show at FMU called Changes. It was on Saturdays, and it ran for a while.
What years were you on FMU?
1969 to 1969 until I graduated, about 73.
Wow, way before my time.
So your song, your theme song was called Changes. You were playing obviously folk singer songwriter sort of music
on the corner.
Oh yeah, Old Yeller. You were in Old Yeller. Yep.
And because I was on FMU, I met my ex-husband. And and also a staffer on WFMU from the old days, the Big Yellow days. His name is Jeff. And then I made a lot of close friends. We're still friends. But every significant
And you wouldn't have you wouldn't have taken that path in life if it had not been for that song.
Maybe not, because it was that song which I'm listening to Campus Caravan and later Vince Gilza, that pushed me to say, I want to do radio. And I want to have that radio show, and that radio show has to be Changes.
Excellent story, Deborah.
And I did a lot of media things, and now I teach journalism media in college. But I do bring up Changes, and still try to teach people the song. That's it.
Okay, I will accept that story as an example of a piece of music that changed someone's life.
Oh, glory be! Thank you, Lord.
Corrected.
Thank you, Lord Andy. Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome.
I just read the biography of Phil Oakes the other day, ironically.
A Rebel, what was it called? The Rebel something?
Well, no, I read it on Wikipedia.
Oh.
Very tragic life, though.
Yeah, there's actual footage of him later in life having his breakdowns.
Yeah,
you know?
He just lost. I didn't realize that he just lost his mind.
I saw him at the Main Point in Philadelphia later in his life, where he couldn't complete the show.
Yeah, wow.
He just couldn't get through a song.
Yeah, and he became, he took on another personality for a while there. He started calling himself by a different name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very sad.
Yeah.
All right. Andy the Painter is back from the Mexican restaurant. You're on the air, Andy.
Oh, no, that was another Andy. This is Andy the Painter, Ken.
Oh, hi, Andy the Painter.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, well, I got something for Lord Andy. He mentioned the sweet spot,
uh-huh.
14, 15 years old. And that's when I started listening to The Clash's London Calling. And I've always said that it did change my life. Lonely Catholic schoolboy, mm-hmm. Cincinnati, Ohio. It just confirmed things for me and made me feel more confident. And, you know, helped get me through high school. And probably made me move to New York. Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, I still refer to it, the ideas on that album. And plus, it was so expansive. I mean, it's definitely my Sgt. Pepper's, you know, like people say. So nothing so specific, yeah, but it changed my life, you know? Turned me around.
Lord Andy, what is thy verdict?
I am not convinced. Another record, a similar record that you heard at the same time of your life, same period, sounds like it might have had a similar effect on you.
Huh.
It's a pretty singular album.
Oh, he's
you know?
I've heard good things about it.
Okay.
He's tough, Andy. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I tried. All right.
Yeah.
Andy, I just thought of another record that changed my life.
That changed your life?
That changed my life. When I was 11 years old, it was a comedy record. A little comedy record called Big Bamboo by Cheech and Chong.
Oh, I believe it did change your life.
Yeah, it did change my life. Made me want to smoke weed.
Did it?
It did, yes.
Because it sounded like they were having so much fun?
Yeah.
You know what? I used to listen to Cheech and Chong, and I used to say, well, no, that's a cautionary tale. And this makes me never, ever, ever want to smoke weed. I think you misunderstood.
I think maybe I did. Oh, damn it.
I think you did.
I've pissed away my whole life because of that record.
Yeah.
Right, Luke in Tulsa, you're on the air.
First time caller, long time listener. I can't believe it.
Thanks, Luke. You're the fish we wanted to catch, right, Ken?
Yes.
I think I got something that might pass Andy's test. It's not a change for the good, though. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. Well, if you're listening to our damn show.
Ken was just talking about pissing away his life. The album I'm talking about is Urinal Street Station by the Yellow River Boys.
Urinal Street Station by the Yellow...
I don't know if you're familiar with this.
By the Yellow River Boys.
Kent, do you know this record?
I do not know.
It's not a widely known release, but it changed my life in a not so good way listening to it. Especially the song Hot Piss.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's an entire album dedicated to drinking urine.
Got it. Okay. Oh boy.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, he's long gone, Andy. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it really? Does that album really exist?
Probably not. But you know, we have to do our bit for the urine drinking community from time to time, and that was our bit.
What's the closest you've ever come to drinking your own urine?
I've never come close. Have you?
Gargling.
You've gargled.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as drinking. I would never drink my own urine.
No, neither would I. Well, I mean, I suppose if I was dying.
Gargling is different.
But if you were dying of thirst, you might.
If you were dying of thirst, like adrift on a boat, on a raft.
Uh-huh. It's sterile when it comes out of your body, you know. You can do it. It will not harm you if you drink it right out of the body.
Wait, will it quench your thirst?
Yes.
Wait, so what's the rub? How can people die of thirst? How can people die of dehydration then? What's the catch?
Well,
you just keep recycling it.
Well, the catch is that it starts as soon as it's exposed to oxygen, it immediately starts to grow bacteria. You have to drink it immediately, fresh out of the body.
Wait, what does that mean? You have to aim it into the... Oh, wait.
I'm not giving you specific instructions. You work it out on your own, my friend.
Ken, I'm not there at the station, but stay there. I'm going to drive there after the show. I want you to draw me a picture. I want you to illustrate your point.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Andy, but there's a great deal of information online about the urine drinking community. You can look it up yourself. I am not an expert.
So when you get tired of reading about Phil Oakes on Wikipedia, you flip a few web pages over.
Yep.
And read about the urine drinking community.
How did you know?
That is some community. I wonder what houses go for in that community.
Well, it's like...
I wonder what they do at the rec center at night, on Friday nights. In the urine drinking community.
It's a nice community. It's a nice neighborhood. But you know what? Just like any community, Andy...
Let me tell you something, Ken.
Yeah.
You only have a few seconds to drink that urine once it comes out of your body.
Not even a few seconds. You have
not
to...
even... Because it immediately becomes, the bacteria starts growing immediately.
Right. You don't even have a few seconds.
Less than a second, Ken.
Right.
You have to really be ready.
Yep. You have to be committed.
You have to be committed and ready. And
I'm going to
show you a picture. There's a, physically, you have to contort yourself into a certain position to make this work.
Well, you don't necessarily have to, but it might help.
How do you explain the first scene in Westworld? The Kevin Costner movie. Not Westworld, Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
I've never seen the opening scene of Waterworld. I've only seen...
Let me just say this. He didn't drink it right away. There was a 4 or 5 second pause there.
Oh, he blew it.
Still a jar.
Well, now you know why Kevin Costner's career went down the crapper.
Because that was so unbelievable, the scene.
He waited too long. It grew bacteria. Oh, Rich in Washington.
Hey,
by the way, I don't know if this
for some color.
Oh, hang on, Rich. Andy had something.
This was the most unpleasant conversation I've ever had in my life.
Oh, great. Hi, Rich.
Once you start talking about urinating, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so the album, the song for me was the Residents version of Satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
And this was like the 80s, so you had no way of knowing like who bands, what they even sounded like if you didn't hear them on the radio. So I actually mailed ordered away for that single from Ralph Records.
Right.
Not even knowing what they sounded like. And when I got it, it was just such a amazing, I couldn't believe how incredible it was. And then I stupidly taped it for my friends and hoped my friends would enjoy it. And I was blown away that they just thought it was like the worst garbage they ever heard in their life. And I think it just kicked off this lifelong obsession with strange music.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it affect you? Are you where you are now because of it?
Oh, yes. I'm actually DJing a show here in Portland, playing all kinds of weird music. I had the pleasure of actually telling Homer Flynn, who's the artistic director, air quotes, of the Residents, that song changed my life and that was gratifying for me. So
was he wearing a mask?
He was not. He was on the phone. He could have been wearing a mask.
Oh, okay. Okay.
For all I know.
Have you seen the new Residents documentary?
I'm actually going to see that Friday. It's
great.
Playing in my hometown.
Great. All right, Rich, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Makes me want to check out the Residents. Are you a fan of the Residents?
I am.
Wait, listen, Ken, did you hear that?
What?
Listen, listen, just shut up and listen.
I don't hear anything. What is it?
Oh, no, I thought I heard our theme song. I thought it was over.
Oh, no, no. We have another 10 minutes to go.
I'm just aching for the sweet, sweet release that death will bring.
You're hallucinating the theme song now?
I guess I am.
Wow.
It's like a mirage. Although, now I understand when I'm in the desert, I don't need to worry about mirages. I don't have to look for an oasis. Wait, listen, Ken, listen. I swear to God, I keep hearing it.
I think it's I guess
I want it so badly.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I'm just imagining it.
Yeah. It's
Ken, like if you're lost in the desert, you don't have to worry about oasis anymore. You can just drink your own pee.
As long as you do it fast.
You can just join the pee drinking community.
That's not what they call themselves.
You don't have to be in the town square right there to join their community.
Andy, it's called, I believe it's called urine therapy. It's the urine therapy community. And
why don't we do a live show next week from their weekly meeting?
From their neighborhood?
From their neighborhood. Wait, listen, I hear it again.
Yes, that's it.
It is.
This really is it. Well, Andy, good luck on your Kickstarter campaign. I know
we launch on Monday.
Yeah. And how long is it going to be up?
30 days, baby.
All right. And what's your goal? $85,001, right?
Yeah, I have to do a little better than the FMU movie.
Yeah.
To show my face at the station.
Yeah, and you're going to drive in next week, right? We're not doing the Skype thing every other week, are we?
No. I'll be there. I'll be there because I'll be plugging my Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Okay.
It'll be fun to see me steer every conversation to my Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Campaign.
Well, good luck with your Kickstarter.
So next week, we're going to talk about crowdfunding stories.
Yep.
Yep. And thanks very much, man. And this has been great, Ken. I was a little skeptical about this topic, but you proved me wrong.
Okay, good.
And I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I learned a lot.
Yeah. Drink it fast. Just remember. Fast.
Yeah, make it fast.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Andy. We'll see you next week. Bye. Bye-bye. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Coming up next, Do It For Me with Sue. Oh, and thank you to Amy Vogel, Nick the Bard, and Veronica. Oh!
And there goes my bed music. This is the point, Cheyenne, where I put on the bed music. Now I gotta scramble.
Put the bed music on.
Put the gosh darn bed music. All right. On. No preparation. Absolutely. This is radio in real time, folks. This is what goes on nobody's looking.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, whew. Now I can get in the mood somehow.
There we are.
Much better. Feel like I'm almost live here. There you go. There you are.
Is that me?
Yeah,
okay.
That's you.
All right,
sorry,
cool.
I'll put you up a little bit. Wow. Wow. Do it for me, folks. This is a radio program, and we're here. Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Subaran here, joined by Cheyenne Homan, fresh from a bout with big trees and big burritos.
Yeah, extra large, everything.
Everything's bigger in California and off the burrito truck. Cheyenne, our fearless free music archive director, just back fresh from vacation with a new perspective.
It's true.
And how do you start a vacation with food poisoning?
Very carefully. First, you must remember that you're going to be out of town when rent is due. So you must put on the most comfortable clothing you own that is also street legal and warm and sort of slime your way to the nearest mailbox like a slug.
Yes. Are you wearing underwear at this point under your huge tent?
I probably was.
Yeah, because like you have to get to the bathroom in time and you don't want to spend one single second hooking your thumbs on the side of your underwear to get them down.
No. Yeah, but at that point, I mean, there's nothing left.
Yeah, you're pretty much drained. You're like ready. You are ready for a colonoscopy. You are so cleaned out.
Yeah, it was like I drank that weird, gross juice that makes you go a lot for a lot of times. And then you just feel horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of like that without any sort of medical purpose.
It wasn't that bad, right? At least you knew like it would be over with. You know, that juice takes a lot longer to work, I think. That juice works over a couple of days.
You could have just had a truck burrito, gotten it over with in about 4 hours.
Bam!
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to give me the address of that truck place with the burritos later so I can... I need to drop, like... I'm going to Austin, and I'd like to drop about 5 before I get there so I can look... I don't know what I just want to look closer to a hippie than I do now.
Okay.
I look like a midwife now. And
how
I
much
wanna
time do you have?
Look, 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
You think 2.5 weeks of rotten burritos I can get there? I think 5 pounds is like easy, like the first
that's
the week
first,
of burritos.
The first expulsion is a couple of pounds right there.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially me. I mean, I'm like, you know, probably do double what, like, you know, somebody else would do. I've got...
I don't know. I
mean, it's that Amazonian thing.
Your digestive tract is just...
It's sort of... I've got a slow simmering giant spaghetti pot for a metabolism.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And other people have just like a whistling IKEA tea kettle for a metabolism.
I don't have that. I have something in between that. Yeah.
Maybe like a rice steamer.
Yeah, I probably have like a rice cooker or maybe
a bamboo rice cooker or like a Presto rice cooker.
No, probably like a plastic one.
Cheaply made rice cooker.
Yeah. But, you know, it works. It does its job. It doesn't do it spectacularly well.
Yeah.
And sometimes it malfunctions horribly. In this case, like all the Teflon got melted off.
It's amazing what one batch of bacteria can do. I mean, that's how fragile human life is, Cheyenne.
I know. I was really brought to terms with my mortality for a moment there.
Now, you were doing... you were scharfing.
Yeah, that's my new word.
Mm-hmm.
I've trademarked it. It's going in the OED soon. The okay. Scharf.
The scharf.
Yeah. So you, any of the, you listeners can probably ascertain just what it means to scharf.
To scharf.
I've also heard it described as burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah. That's yeah. a good description as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're back in action. You
yeah.
made it to work today.
Yeah, I ate soup and bread today and feel great.
Good. It's. I mean, it has been like 10 days.
It has been. Yeah. yeah.
So
I still can't have coffee, though.
Did you, like, put back whatever you lost? Are you, like, all impacted back now?
I would say my constitution has returned to almost normal.
Well, we're very happy to hear that, Cheyenne. Folks, this is Do It For Me. There's a phone number here. If you can believe it, this is a call-in show. I mean,